Hello, old friend. What's this? Biscuits, for me. What did you think I'd forget? Well, you're right, I did. Come on in and let's get these opened. Oh, seems you forgot about the bottles too. Don't worry, I'll pick them up later. Go on, mind your step. Garibaldi's, eh? I haven't had a Garibaldi in years. I wasn't sure they still made them, to be honest. Ooh, yeah. They smell just as delicious as I remember. Here, go on. Get stuck in. We used to have a cat called Garibaldi, you know. Oh, don't worry, Catrick Swayze. You're still the love of my life, I promise. Yes, you are. That's it. Go to sleep, spaghetti legs. Yeah, Garibaldi. Great big hairy ginger thing he was. Massive. Honestly, it was like living with a lion, the amount he shedded. Or Barry Gibb. Oh, lovely cat though. Saft as pap, as they say back home. How've you been since I saw you last anyway? You look well. Mourning the summer that never was, are we, like the rest of the world? Well, I might have something to cheer you up, actually. One last splash of sunshine and blue skies on your canvas before autumn paints us all in a favourite copper tones and candlelight. But you better clear your airways, because the scent I'm going to share with you today is an absolute corker. It was bottled by a lovely lady called Liz Bruce, who came to visit the old factory a while back, and I've been sitting and staring at it for weeks now, just waiting for the right time to unleash it. And as we sit here by this crackling fire, tea in hand, as rain dances on the windowsill, the dark night's drawing in, I think now is the perfect time. I think we need it, because the scent that Liz shared with me is what she calls her festival blend. Sounds like a fancy tea bag. Here. Have a whiff of this.
It's quite a little melange of different notes, really. So I suppose the bottom note would be an earthy country smell. It's certainly the smell of crushed grass with lots of feet trampling on it in wellies. Bit of cow mixed in there. That kind of under canvas smell. Bit of grass under canvas that's kind of trampled to hay, really. There's sort of mid notes of cider and a bit of beer, I think, probably chucked in there somewhere. With top notes of a bit of chemical toilet thrown in and a bit of incense wafting over, or possibly something less legal than that, I wouldn't like to say. It's a total package, really, this fragrance, and it's a fragrance that I've really missed. And it's one that when I smell it again, I will feel so happy, so excited, and yet peaceful. I will know that I've come home. Missed it so much. You cannot beat the sound of people singing along to a belter, standing there with the flags flying, you know, everybody perhaps a little bit drunk, just enjoying themselves and, you know, having that great feeling all at the same time. You can't beat it. Were I to smell this again now, what I would think about would be sitting right up at the top of the festival, so looking down on the whole twinkling city that's laid out before you. So I'm thinking particularly of a time when it must have been about 9 o'clock, 9:30, and because it's June, so it's usually the days are quite long, so it's just got dark. You can see in front of you this enormous, great big city of stages and events going on, lots of lights, there's fires. You can hear the boom of the bass on various music that's coming through. You can hear people playing bongos. You can hear people singing. And it's all spread out in front of you. And I think we probably went up there just before the headline acts and before, you know, the real sort of hustle and bustle of the whole festival had started. And just sitting there with a drink and looking at everything below you, it's just an incredible sight, really. And you get chatting to people that you don't know, and you get talking to people from all over the world. Then hopefully, if you dodge the rain and you've got a nice sunny day, there's not a better place in the world to be. What made me first go to Glastonbury, I was an intensive care nurse and I'd been working really hard and had quite a difficult time in my career. We had just commissioned 2 intensive care units. I was really busy at work. I was finding it really difficult to relax and de-stress. And we had some friends who used to go to Glastonbury regularly. We'd missed tickets, actually, on the first sale. And they always do a resale in the April. And strangely enough, we were in a really out-of-the-way caravan, actually, in North Wales at my in-law's house. And I managed to get tickets on the resale with hardly any Wi-Fi on an old cranky phone. So I think it was obviously designed to be, wasn't it? I'd been to other festivals before, but I'd never really been to Glastonbury, so that was my first experience. It's really daunting, actually, to start with, because you all walk down the same sort of track, I guess, and you pass the cows and you pass the recycling and you pass all the stewards and you kind of see the whole site and you see the pyramid stage right in front of you over that first field. But when you get to the bottom, there's so many places you can go. Should you go left? Should you go right? Should you carry straight on? You've got no idea when you first start off. And to be honest, I don't think it really matters. I think, you know, the fact that you can explore the whole site and you would never see everything. You could spend a long time looking and exploring and you'd still have a different experience to other people that go to the festival. So we have discovered quite a lot of new music just by falling into a little tent and listening to somebody doing an acoustic set or a new band that you've never seen before. I think Half Moon Run, we'd never heard of them before. We fell into a tent and they were playing and they were incredible. I think being able to be open to new experiences and new music, that's part of the liberation, isn't it, of being there for a couple of days. There's nothing else on your agenda. You can choose. You can choose what you want to do and what you want to see. And there is a plethora of experiences out there for you. So you've got to go and take them, really. Things that I will treasure really from my Glastonbury days, I think probably the one that stands out for me the most was my experience seeing Laura Marling. So I had loved her really since she'd brought out her first album, which is called Alas, I Cannot Swim. And she was very young at the time, and I listened to that and listened to that. And it was a time in my life when, again, I mentioned before, I was having quite a difficult time, I was quite stressed, and it really spoke to me, and I just loved her. For some reason, and again, one of the things with Glastonbury is you can't get a very good phone signal, so looking at your phone is pretty much pointless while you're there, and trying to make a phone call is very difficult. But for whatever reason, on Twitter, there was a call for people who are keen, you know, want to see Laura Marling, want to be part of an experiment. And if that's what you'd like to do, come to this particular venue. So I dragged my husband up there and we waited and waited. And I had to draw a number, like a little raffle ticket number. And they called my number and they said, come on through to the back. So I went out through this little tent, and out the back there was one of these, you know, like those Airstream caravans. And they said, go on in and sit down. So I went in and sit down. I had really no idea what to expect. Within probably a couple of minutes, the door opens and in walks Laura Marling with her guitar. I was sitting there on my own thinking, oh, what is going on? And she was trying some songs out and she played me two songs. Just sat and played in front of me. And it was amazing. I couldn't take my eyes off her. I'll never forget that. It was absolutely brilliant. And who would ever get to do that, really? Some of the fragrances that might be added to my festival blend is perhaps some of the food that you can smell, especially in the evening. You know, they do a brilliant Goan fish curry. That's amazing. And the spices from that are beautiful. And if you didn't feel hungry before you smelled it, you certainly would at the end. But baked potatoes and baked beans, you know, some really nice falafel and salad. Bit of Greek food, that whole kind of world kitchen feel and smell, really. I think that's probably one of the main things that would hit you when you're walking around in the evening. And not to mention, you know, obviously things like candy floss and beer and some of the sweeter smells that you might get. And certainly when you go past the cider bus, you get a big waft of cider. Possibly that's what makes my festival fragrance quite distinct, really, because that's what I associate with being at a festival, is drinking cider. I'm normally a Sauvignon Blanc kind of girl, so that's what I prefer. But I do definitely like a bit of cider when I'm at a festival. And for some reason, I don't know if they water it down, or maybe it's just that you spend all day drinking, so you kind of just get used to it. But it never really seems to make me drunk. It just seems to make me very happy and relaxed. And there's something about cider. It's earthy. It's natural. It feels right. It feels right for the time. Definitely. The toilets, we have to discuss that, really, because that's quite an important top note to my fragrance. I had dreaded the toilet experience, because that's what everybody talks about, isn't it, when you go to festivals? Ooh, how are you going to manage? And the toilets at Glastonbury, you know, we call them the long drops, you know, you can see everything underneath you floating past. And I've seen an iPhone, I've seen Ray-Bans, I've seen all sorts go down there, and you're not going to get them back once they've gone down. But actually, do you know what? They're not as bad as everybody makes out. Maybe I'm a nurse, so let's be honest, I'm used to some fairly disgusting things. The clang of that metal door, if you could also bottle a sound, that sound is really important as well. That's something that said you're at a festival and you're definitely at Glastonbury for this one. Another Glastonbury memory for me is standing watching Elbow. We'd met Guy Garvey earlier on in the day. We'd just bumped into him and said, oh, we're really looking forward to the show tonight. And he'd shaken my hand. He said, oh, what a lovely thing to say, you know, like a big teddy bear that he is. And we saw them that night. We'd stood and watched them, you know, waited and waited and waited. Other bands had come and gone, and we watched them. And just listening to them, and the sun was going down and the flags were flying and everyone's singing One Day Like This. And, oh, it's just magical. It's just absolute magic. There's something that connects with me about live music and seeing that and being part of that whole corporate singing. It just completely lifts your spirit and it absolutely tops me up. Obviously, we all have dreadful things happen to us, don't we? You know, we've just got through getting through a pandemic. And so I wouldn't be naive enough to suggest that going to see some live bands would ever take that away. But being able to be part of that experience is the ability to forget about those things for a period of time. And they're still going to be there when you come out of it. But for some couple of days, you've got the ability to build your resilience back up again. You've got the ability to remember who you are, that you're not on your own, that other people have daily stresses and strains as well. But like you, they can find joy in live music. Yeah, you're going to go back and you're going to get stuck in the traffic on the way out again, and you're going to go back to your job and all the things that are stressful. But for that period of time, you absolutely know that you're going to have the best time. And that's priceless. To me, being at Glastonbury feels like a kind of home. I'm with like-minded people. I'm doing something that I absolutely love, that touches my spirit and my soul and lifts me, wears me out, but it's something that I hold very dear and that I hope I can continue doing for the rest of my life.
Oh, that brings back such happy memories of lazy summer days spent in a haze next to the Somerset Cider Bus. I can't even begin to tell you. Let's all hope that Glastonbury is able to go ahead in 2022. Getting a whiff of that festival blend has certainly made me nostalgic for it. The lights, the sounds, the sights, the smells, and even the long drops. Well, no, perhaps not the long drops. Oh, that reminds me, I need to buy some new Ray-Bans. The power of music is a remarkable thing, isn't it? I'd place it up there with smell and its ability to evoke emotion and tap into our memories. I don't think there is one single emotion that music can't touch in some way. And like with smells, our individual experiences of a piece of music are unique to each and every one of us. How a few notes of a treasured song can instantly transport you to another time, another place, another you. I guess that's why it's such a powerful therapeutic tool for people living with dementia. And as we talk about the power of music, the comfort and joy it brings to so many of us, I'd like to tell you about a wonderful man called Robert James Jones, who was sadly taken too soon from this world in July of this year. At the young age of just 37. Rob loved music, ferociously so, and inspired by the bands he loved, he shared that passion with the world through the songs that he wrote and the stages that he played on. And as Liz shared her story about how live music makes her feel, I was overwhelmed with the image of Rob's smiling face, beer in hand, guitar strap welded to his shoulder like a second skin. And I imagine he would have been able to relate to what Liz was describing. The sheer electricity that a good song can create, or the blush of calm that tingles through your body with each note that passes by. A rush of his own music and festival-fueled memories flicking through his mind like ticker tape. And his big, cheesy grin, wider than ever. I imagine the same goes for all of those that loved him, and love him still. And I hope music continues to bring them comfort and powerful memories of the times they shared together. An infinite playlist created just for them. And on that note, we better hit pause on this for another week, hadn't we? But do make sure you have a little think about what scent conjures up the magic elixir of memory for you, because I'd love to hear it. Tell your friends. Tell your friends and tell your family too. As you know, there's plenty of room on the shelves yet. And I've still got all those bottles to fill up front, haven't I? Send me a message to theolfactorypod@gmail.com if you've got a story you'd like to share with me. And Katrick and I will get back to you as soon as we can. Go on, and I'll see you next time. Smell you later.